Okay, good evening. Sorry for the delay. So what I want to discuss tonight, begin discussing, is the which types of monies or which types of monies the person receives does he have to take Maaser off from, meaning a person who's giving Maaser Kesafim. So from what type of incomes or receivables does he take off Maaser? Now, obviously, the most obvious thing is a person's income. He goes to work and he earns money. So, but right now we're not going to discuss that, meaning to say if a person gets a paycheck and there are certain deductions from the paycheck. So the bottom line is what number does he point to on the paycheck to take? Does he cheshbon with income taxes? Does he cheshbon with they take off for insurance? They take off for this and that. That's not what we're going to discuss now. Or a person has a business and he has ups and downs. He makes money one day, perhaps in 1 month, and maybe the next month he loses money. So how does he make a cheshbon? When does he make a cheshbon? How does he make a cheshbon of stocks and stuff like that? So that we're going to talk about possibly next week, whatever it is. What I want to talk about now is other types of incomes, like specifically, or the first thing will be mainly gifts. If a person receives money or receives items as a gift, does he take off Maaser Kesafim? And if he does, how does he take off Maaser Kesafim, etc.? So to start with, it's pretty muskum that if a person receives a gift of cash, he receives money, then he does have to give Maaser Kesafim from that. And that includes, according to the most poskim, even if he receives the money to use for a specific purpose. Somebody gives him money to, here, buy yourself whatever, and he gives the money. And even if by giving Maaser for that money, now he won't have enough money then to buy that item, nevertheless, he should still give Maaser from it. And if he can't give Maaser right away, he should at least write down as a chob. Meaning, obviously, if he has other money in the bank, which he owns, so he could take the Maaser connected this. It's all just money. I mean, it's fungible. It's all the same thing. But if he doesn't have, let's say the person gives him an amount of money, which if he's going to take Maaser from, he simply doesn't have enough money in his possession, and he's not in order to then still buy the item. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Derech Amunah brings from the Chazon Ish that he should write down as a chov that he owes this much to Maaser and pay it off when he's able to. So this seems to be the standard approach. However, I did see brought down in one of the Svarim, Hilchos Maaser Kesafim, brings down from Rabbi Yashiv that he held not like that. That he held that if you were given Maaser, you were given money rather for to buy a specific item, you do not need to take Maaser from that money. Sounds like even if you could afford to, I mean, even if a person gives you $50 to buy a $50 item, and you have $5 in the bank, you could give $5, but you're not mechuyev to. And I think a little bit later, we'll be able to maybe say a Hesber. We'll see that this, I think, works out, Rabbi Yashiv Lishitaso, based on another Psak. Now, I just should qualify, this Psak, is Rabbi Yashiv brought down different Svarim, quoted from different people. It's not Mipiv. I mean, we didn't, at least I'm not hearing Mipiv, and I think even the Mechaber, the Sefer, didn't hear it Mipiv, and it's not a Tshuva, but but as I said, based on the assuming that there's it's a correct, accurate quote, so, and the other one's a correct, accurate quote, so I think the two of them fit together, as we'll explain Bez Hashem a little bit later. Okay.
But if you win an item in a Chinese auction, you win an item.
We'll get to that. Okay. First we're talking about money. First we're just cash. Okay. So now that also includes, post can say, if a person gets married and he's given cash as an adunya, a dowry, gets money as a dowry, or, for that matter, if his parents give him money when he gets married, which is many parents give their child their children money when they buy their chasana. So the halacha is that they should take Maaser Kesafim from that. Or same thing as when a child's single, or even after the chasana, at any point, it doesn't make a difference. Now, this is all assuming, again, we're talking about a person who can afford to give Maaser Kesafim, and we'll learn it later at some point about different pturim of a person who pashut can't afford, what the halachas are, what qualifies for a ptur b'chlal. But we're talking about assuming the person can afford to. If you and the person or the couple, whatever, can afford to give Maaser Kesafim, then even though the money came from parents, they should still take Maaser from that money. The exception to this would be that if the one who gave the money, whether it's the case of the parents or anyone else, if the one who gave the money, gave the gift of money, stipulates that I don't want you, I'm giving you this with the with the expectation and with the understanding that you're not going to give any of it to tzedakah. You're not going to, or you're not going to give, take 10% to tzedakah. The person expresses a hakpada that they're particular about that. I want you to have this money. I'm giving it to you. Then the halacha is that you don't give ma'isa from it. You're not allowed to. There's a tshuva from in the tshuva Sanhagas Chel Gimel Simin Reish Pei Beis. He's talking about a case of a child getting money from his father. Happens to be a yeshiva bach who gets money from his father, and he says that if his father says specifically that I don't want you using it for ma'aser. Well, I'm giving this to for your needs that you could have for whatever pocket money, whatever it is you need for, but I don't want you giving it to tzedakah, then he's not supposed to. It says that he could ask his father if he could, if he would be mevater on his condition and if it could allow him to have the schus of giving ma'aser. But l'maaser, the father's machmen says no, then he can't. Now, I should mention though, when this condition is lacking, meaning the standard case where there's no stipulation of not giving to Meiser, in that standard case, then when we say that you have to give Meiser, it's even if the person who gave it to you already gave Meiser. In other words, he's a person, he gives Meiser Ksufin. When he earned his paycheck, he already took Meiser, and now he's, from his money, which is already Meusar, he's giving somebody else a gift. He's giving his son a gift or someone else a gift. And again, the case where there's no stipulation against it, then still the recipient has to give it. In other words, Ma'aser Ksufim is not a din in the money. It's not like Peros. If somebody grows Peros in Eretz Yisrael and he takes off Ma'aser and then he gives them to you or sells them to you, you don't have to take off Ma'aser again. There it's a din in the Peros themselves. The Peros have to be Mu'usar. Here, it's not a din in the Peros, it's a din in the person. When the money changes hands from Reuven to Shimon, even though Reuven already took off Ma'aser, now Shimon has to take off Ma'aser. Okay, but getting back to the case where the one who gives it is machped, it says, I'm not giving to you, so you're not allowed to be mishana midas hanosin. If a person gives you a matana with other specific stipulations, then if you accept it, if you take it, then you're bound, the halacha says you're bound by those stipulations. Now there's a tshuva in the Igros Moshe in the Chelik Beis of Yerodeah, Simon Kufyud Beis, where he talks about a father-in-law who gave his new son-in-law a sum of money. It sounds like a significant sum of money, in order that he wants his son-in-law to be able to sit and learn, and he wants to be able to do so beharvachem with menuchas ha-nefesh, and not have to scrounge around to try to make money here and there and look for odd jobs or fill his bein hastarim with whatever it may be, tutoring jobs or other things. He wants him to have the money to have peace of mind and to be able to dedicate himself to his learning for whatever amount of time it is. He wants him to dedicate himself to his learning, and that's why he's giving him the money. So Rav Moshe writes that in that case, he is not allowed to give ma'aser from it either, because it's clearly understood that the money is meant for him to have and use in order to for that matara, and it's clear that he doesn't want him to use it for mitzvahs. He wants it, mitzvahs meaning mitzvahs ma'aser, which is not inherently incumbent upon him. He doesn't want him to do that, so he says he should. Rav Moshe writes, so the case there was the money was going to be invested, or at least put into the bank when they were still getting interest. The case in the tshuva was there was a sum of approximately $10,000, and he's going to make approximately $500 of interest over the year. So Rav Moshe says from the interest he should take ma'aser. It's a little tshuva there, but he says from the interest he should take ma'aser on a yearly basis, but from the keren not. In general, when a person, we didn't go into this so much yet, but when a person receives money, let's say a person receives money from whatever source to start a business. So originally he takes Meiser from the Karen, and then when he profits from all the profits. So here Rav Moshe says this Karen, this principle, he should not take Meiser from, but only from the profits. I did see also, yes.
If he has to give Meiser, who cares that the other guy says don't give Meiser? Tell him.
Because he's only giving him the money.
Don't put it feeling. Don't keep Shabbos. Why is he going to do it with the money?
Right, because when a person is... First of all, we mentioned, Meiser is not... the way we pass it is not a chiyuv. It's not even a chiyuv in the Rabbanan. It's a minug toiv that the Klai Yisrael accept. But it's not a chiyuv. That's number one. But besides that, he's giving him the money... Amanas came, meaning it's only a gift. You're right. If you give him money, say, I'm giving this money only amanas that you buy tray for food with it. So he can't buy tray for food, but he shouldn't accept the money. He shouldn't say the money either, right? If a person says, I'm only giving this money if you're going to spend it in McDonald's, otherwise it's not yours, so then he can't take the money. But he can't say, okay, since you stipulated, so then I have no choice, I'll just have to shop at McDonald's, you know, buy dinner at McDonald's. Obviously he can't do that. But here, he's telling you, I'm giving you this money, I'm giving it to you for your needs, not for my sir. Then he's allowed to do that, and the simple hesber would be because, as we said, Meiser is not an absolute chiyuv, and even if a person accepted upon himself to give Meiser, in which case we said it could become a neder, but not for things like this. Obviously, it's only for things that are Meiserable. This is inherently considered not Meiserable, so it wouldn't even be part of his neder. It might be another hesber. Maybe again we'll see as we go along, connected to what we said at the beginning also. But that's the simple hesber. I did also see an interesting thing. This, to me, this is one of the more eye-opening psukim. I saw in the Sefer Emes LeYaakov, the psukim of Yaakov Kamenetsky, that this is in Yoredei Reish Mem Tes, I think it was number 132, Mipia Shmua. I should see a lot. A good part of that Sefer Emes LeYaakov on Shulchan Aruch is Mipia Shmua. But it brings there that even when a person gets married and his new wife brings in money. She's been working or whatever, and saving, or she got money from her parents, and she's been, you know, what she got already, and she's saved her birthday money or whatever it is, and she comes into the marriage with whatever, a few thousand dollars or whatever it may be, so he has to take Meiser from that. In other words, it's like when they get married, it's like she's giving him the money. So he brings there that he has to take Meiser from the money that his wife brings into the marriage. Okay, so this is all talking about cash gifts. When you get cash gifts, b'derech klal, one has to give us. There was another psak there I should share with you. There was another psak there in the Emes LeYaakov where he said that money that's received as chasen gifts, you don't have to give maaser from, because it's not, you're not really receiving anything, because it's like it's a revolving door. You get money, but then you have to give money. When that family makes a chasna, you have to reciprocate. So it's really just money that's being passed around from hand to hand, and nobody's really getting anything, which is interesting, psak, because especially, I don't know, like nowadays also with the number of chasnas, Baruch Hashem, and everything, and the varied groups that you're invited, you might be invited to the chasna of somebody who you have no shaykhs to, who, you know, sometimes you give a gift, sometimes you don't give it, not always are we giving gifts, or certainly giving anyone near the amount, but this is as we said, it was chiddush. Most of the other svarim did not look at it from that angle, from what I understood. Okay, what about shava kesef? What about you receive something which is not cash? You receive an item. Somebody gives you an item. So gives you a piece of furniture, or a piece of jewelry, or anything in the world, whatever it may be, a set of svarim. Do you have to give meiser from that? Which essentially would mean take money out of your pocket. Someone gives you a $100 gift item. Do you have to now go and take $10 out of your bank account or out of your pocket and give it to Mises? So there's a very big machlokas about this. There is a indication in the Sefer HaYira LeRabbeinu Yonah that you do. It's Mashma Rabbeinu Yonah there that Meiser is also from Shava Kesef. And this is the Psaker of Shlomo Zalman Arbach that's brought down in a couple of the Svarim, that he paskened yes, that you have to take Meiser from Shava Kesef as well. Somebody gives you a gift of an item, you have to give Meiser from it. Now, this is assuming you could afford to. Again, if you don't have the money, so the cash, you don't have to sell it or sell part of it to somebody. You don't have to do that, but you would write it down and keep track of it, and when you're able to, you would give Meiser from it, according to this Mahalach. In the Sefer Shari Tzedek, he points out from Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, says he says like this: Avraham, meaning Avraham Avinu, Hischel Rishon La'aser Ba'olam. Avraham Avinu was the first one to give Meiser, as the pasuk says, after the Melchama of the four Malachim, against the five Malachim, it says that Avraham Avinu gave Vayitin Lo Meiser Mikol. He gave to Shem Ben Noach, he gave him Meiser. And the pasuk that says Vayitano Meiser Mikol, the Ramban says, meaning from all the shalal, from all the booty, all the rechush that they captured in the war. So he says, you see right there in the first example of Meiser in the Torah was giving Meiser from Shava Kesef as well. He points out. Okay, so this is one mahalach. However, many say not like this. Many gedolim say that one does not have to give Meiser at all from items that you receive. That you receive a gift of an item, or you get an item in another fashion, as we'll see later. One marabakum for this is the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is brought in a couple of places. First of all, it's brought in the Derech Amunah from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Perek Zayin, it's Siyunim Samach Zayin. He brings this psak from the Chazon Ish. And it's also brought in the Sefer Orchos Rabbeinu, which is a Sefer of psakim and hanhagos of the stipler and the Chazon Ish. In the Orchos Rabbeinu, it's in the original set. I think they changed it now. They put it out in a different format. But in the original format, it was on in the first chelik on page Reish Tzadivav. They both bring this psak from the Chazon Ish. And not only that, but they bring the following. The Chazon Ish even gave an etzah to somebody who wasn't particularly wealthy, and he was receiving, he was going to receive money from his father around, I think, around this chasna time. So money for to buy an apartment or whatever. It sounds like it was major money. He told him that he can refrain from taking possession, from acquiring the money. Even if his father gives him the money, he should go, they can go put a down payment on an apartment or whatever it is. But he can have in mind that he's not being coned of the money. I'm just passing the money on to the seller on behalf of my father and buying it on behalf of my father. And then after I buy it, I'll take possession of it because my father wants me to have the apartment. But I'm not gonna take the money from my father and now I own the money and have to use it to buy the dira, because we said before, if you get, and we said from the Chazon Ish, that if you get money, even with a designated purpose, unless the nosin is makpid, otherwise, if you get money for a designated purpose, you still have to get ma'isa from it. We said according to Chazon Ish. So this shtim, the Chazon Ish told him, so don't acquire the money, don't take possession of the money, just you be a shaliach for your father. You just pass the money on from your father to the seller, and after it's no longer money, once it's a dira, or once it's a couch, or once it's groceries, whatever it is, then you take possession of those items, and then that you don't have to take ma'isa from. So when Aikidei Kach, not only is Chazon Ish saying you don't have to take it from Shavu Kesef, but when now, I don't think he was recommending this every case. Your father comes and he gives you $25 for your birthday, say, hey dad, you know what, I'm not going to acquire the money, I'm just going to wait till I see something I want to buy, I'm going to buy it for you, then I'm going to take. I don't think he was recommending to do that, but he was talking about major money where for a chassan who wasn't particularly wealthy, etc. But you see, he held that this eitzah works. Now, so what's the svara? What's the svara? Why should Shavu Kesef not have to be meisered? So the stipler in the Orchos Rabbeinu says one mahalach. I think there are three mahalachim that I've seen to possibly explain it. The stipler says, the pshat is that when we give ma'isa, we said before, ma'isa is not really a chiyuv. We pass like the Bach, we said in the first year, ma'isa is not a chiyuv, it's a minig tov. So when we do give, the reason we give ma'isa, the main reason we give ma'isa is that's how we're fulfilling our mitzvah tztaka. And we learned in the Shulchan Aruch that if there are aniyim, if there are enough aniyim around that need your money, need a lot of money, so it's proper if you can to give 10% without meiser. We said it's proper to give 10% in order to become mitzvah tztaka the ayin yafeh, right? Or it's called the midah beinonis, and not to be considered ayin ra. If you give less than 10%, assuming you can afford to give 10%, you give less. We said the Shulchan Aruch says you call the ayin ra, certain tztaka. So we give tztaka. Unfortunately, there are plenty of aniyim and plenty of needs. So we give 10% in order to be doing the midah beinonis, is not to be an ayin ra. So that's how we're filling our mitzvah tztaka. So said the stipler, but if somebody gives you an item, you're not mechuyev to sell your property to give tztaka. Let's say you don't have money to give tztaka, you don't have cash, and there's someone who needs, but you have a car and you have a house and you have a couch in your house. You're not mechuyev to sell your property, and we wouldn't even tell you all. We wouldn't call it ayin ra if you don't have cash, available cash, and we're not going to say if you're not giving 10% of your assets, of your property, ayin ra, not at all. You don't have to sell. There's a minimum we mentioned the first time, shlishas hashekel l'shana, which is a very small amount. That's to fulfill the bare bones mitzvah tztaka, you have to give shlishas hashekel. It's a few dollars. I saw different cheshbonos brought down from different years. It's $4. Less than that. A very small amount that you have to mamash fulfill the mitzvah of tztaka. So if a person really doesn't have money, doesn't have cash, but even if he has plenty of items, he wouldn't have to sell them. So Mimela, the disciple said, if you get a gift from somebody, which is an item, you're not mechuyev to give money kenegad. Getting money kenegad is in a sense like you're selling it, or you're you know you're being poded on money in your house, so you're not mechuyif to do that. That's what the stipla said. And we'll see afterwards, later, hopefully, maybe one or two other possible mahalchim. In the Emes Liakov, he also says that this is the minug, that we do not give meiser from Shavu Kesef. And it's brought also B'Shem Rabbi Yashiv as well in the Sefer Baruch Tzaka that he passed in that way as well. Okay, so we have many Gedolim. We have, according to this, we have the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rabbi Yashiv all saying that one doesn't have to, or that the minig is not to give Meiser from Shavu Kesef. In the Sefer Tzaka Mishpat, Perek Hey Harachav Zayin, he says on his own, like a sort of a compromise, that if it's something which you wouldn't have bought, someone gives you a gift and you wouldn't have spent the money on it, then you don't have to get Meiser from it. But it's something that you would have bought yourself. It's something that you need, and you would have bought it. And instead, someone gives it to you. Maybe your parents know you need it, so they go ahead and buy it for you, or your friend buys you, or whatever it is. You end up getting it from an outside source, and mainly you save money. So then you should meister it, because you were going to spend the $50 or the $500, whatever it is. You were going to spend the money on that item. You needed the item. So now he gave it to you. So now it's like you earned $500. It's called mishtar shilei. You just profited $500, which as opposed to the money, the gift, I was never spent the money. So then that, not from this, he wants to say that you should give meister from. L'maisa, the standard minhag ha'olam is, I believe, like it's brought B'Shem Rabbi Yaakov, not to give from Shavu Kesef. And as we said before, even those who say you have to, it's only, you don't have to sell, it's only if you have the money around. Even those who say, though, like even the Philomitic not to give from Shavu Kesef, that's Kolzman that you're keeping. And if you taka sell it, let's say somebody gives you an item and you'd rather have the cash value. You got a gift or whatever, a chasnik, whatever it may be, and you want to trade it in. You know, you have somebody who could use it more than you, and you'd rather have the cash value. You sell it, then taka, you should give meiser from the money. Then you earned that money out of nowhere. You got the free gift, so the gift you can keep. But you're not keeping it. You're converting it to money. Then for the money, you should taka give meiser ksufim.
What if you just exchanged it for a gift, another gift that you would want? Like you went back to the store.
Then you wouldn't have to. Then you wouldn't have to. Then you wouldn't have to. And if sometimes a person gets a gift card, let's say you get a gift card. So if the gift card is just free, you could use it anywhere, mamish, like cash. It's as good as cash, like a credit card. You got a free $500, a card with $500 worth of credit, you can spend it anywhere. So that's like getting cash, and that you should take meiser from. But if you get a gift card to a particular store, that its only value is to use in that store and get items. They're not giving, you can't trade it in for cash. So then lechara lefi the minhag ha'olam, not to give from Shavu Kesef, you wouldn't have to give from there. I will say though that in the Sefer Hilchos Ma'aseh Ksufim, he brings down B'Shem Rav Nosson Shulman that even though the Chazon Ish said as recorded by Rav Chaim Kanievsky and Baruch Hazarenu, even though the Chazon Ish said that one does not have to give meiser from Shavu Kesef, but he Rav Nosson Shulman was, I assume the one that was son of the Slavotki Rosh Yeshiva in Bnei Brak, a son of Rav Marcha Shulman. It makes sense that he would have a connection with the Chazon Ish. So he said that the Chazon Ish added to Misha Ken Yitein Mishavak, one who does it nonetheless, even though you're not chayiv to, Einu Yodea Mikama Dvarim Humatzel Satsmo. He can't imagine what good it's going to bring to you, how much benefit you're going to bring to yourself by doing it. I mean, the Chazon Ish, as much as he said you're potter, but he still encouraged it. And again, it's so steered to the fact that he gave the person who needed the money, for the deer, he needed it, he gave him an eitzah how to get the money without getting the money, so there's something meiser. It's not a steered, that was a tzarech. But he's saying a person who can afford to do it, he says it's definitely a gevaldika thing to do. Now, so I saw brought though, so we mentioned that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was from the Mechayvim. He's so brought down a number of places. He held that you should, that you chayiv to give meiser even from Shavu Kesef. But he writes, or he, in his psakim, that you don't have to give Meiser for what you consider the full retail value, the full sale back value of the item, but from a third less. It's what the Gemara calls demei baser bezol. Like the Gemara talks about a case where a man passed away, and there was this nice fat animal in his grazing in his fields, and so the kids took it and they shechted and ate it, and they had a very delicious dinner, or maybe many dinners, and then. Then they found out that animal didn't belong to daddy. That animal belonged to the neighbor. He was watching it for him or whatever else. So they have to pay back. But it says they have to pay demei baser bezol. They don't have to pay for as much as it was worth. But what they were nene from it, and what they would have paid for dinner, they wouldn't have paid. They enjoyed this dinner was worth maybe $100 a plate. But they never from this type of meat. They never would have paid $100 for a dinner. They paid $20, so they pay. That's the concept of the maybus result. So I said $20. Those numbers are very inaccurate because Rav Shlomo Zalman says that means it's a third less. So you only have to value it at a third less than its real value, and from that you take Meiser from that number. But he said, even if you get, let's say you get a $2,000 item, and it's something that you Taka really needed, but I wouldn't have bought a $2,000. I would have spent $1,000. I don't know, it's a certain piece of furniture. And the person really needs it for his house. He would have bought it. But he would have bought a $1,000 one. Somebody gives him a nice gift, pays $2,000. So he says, you should take Meiser from the $2,000 one again, making a cheshbon that it's a third less than its retail value, but not a third less of $1,000, or not from the $1,000, but a third less of the actual value of the thing you receive, even if that's more than you ever would have paid for this item. Now, okay, so now, in the Sefer Baruch Tzedakah, he brings that, although we said before that Rabbi Yashiv holds that you don't have to take mice from Shavu Kesef, but he quotes him as saying, and he quotes from two sources, one of them Rabbi Yashiv, that if it's something that you bechlau don't need, meaning you have already, and now it's like an extra, then from that you should take mice. For example, he's talking about an apartment. The person he has it here has an apartment, and now somebody gives an apartment. So maybe his in-laws or parents own a lot of real estate, and they give him an extra apartment. So whatever it is, so he says that he should take Meiser from, and he explains over there. And this is what I was alluding to before. He explains that why would that be? So the child, well, what's the reason why you don't take normally from Shavu Kesef? So he said normally Shavu Kesef is not viewed as a monetary gain. You got an item, so you got the item, you didn't get the money, you got the item. So we don't look at it like a harvacha kaspis. We don't look at it like a gain in your net worth, your worth, your value, your financial status. It's like you got something to use. You got an item. A couple gets married and they need a place to live and the parents give them a dira. So they, it's like someone was once staying in my house in Chicago. A person came or was coming or collecting, raising money for his own family or personal needs, and he was happened to be the son of a chash of a rav and a paisin there in Israel. He was telling me that it's an interesting phenomenon now. But you can have millionaires who are poor. What does that mean? They own a million-dollar apartment or whatever, an apartment in Eretz Yisrael with a very high value, real estate. But they got that from the parents and in-laws when they got married. They can't possibly sell it. I mean, they need that to live, and it doesn't do them any good to put bread on the table. They can't put bread on the table. But they have large families and whatever, and their income is limited, and they can't afford to feed their family without going around and asking people to help them, even though they own this real estate that's worth, they're sitting on a gold mine, so to speak, but all they can do is sit on it. They can just live in it. Okay, he was discussing that concept. Al Kopanim, that's the idea here. They say, you got something, so you got something for your shemesh, but it's not, the money isn't, doesn't do you any good. It's value. Mamela, you don't have to take Meiser from that. But Mamela, if it's... Say it again?
You're kind of giving them tzedakah. They have a dinanim and tzedakah.
That's not the topic now, but okay, so maybe we'll leave that off. Well, maybe we'll discuss that later.
Sorry,
no problem. Or it's
supposed to take a home equity loan? Is it supposed to take out money against the house? Or are they supposed to do?
They can't necessarily afford to do that because then they're gonna have to be paying interest, and you know, I don't know if depending. Okay, but let's. I just wrote that.
Sorry,
no problem. But so the point is here. So it says the second Sefer Baruch Tzedakah explaining Rabbi Yashar's Pesachim that if you get a second one that you don't need for your use, then taka is viewed more as a just as for its monetary value, because now you don't need a deer, you don't need a second deer. So what you perhaps you could sell it, perhaps you could rent it. Now that's something that has it's more of a dollar value than being just a function. You have a car, and the family needs a car. You just need one car, and you have a car. So one car you need, again, you need to get from point A to point B just to go to work or to go to whatever you need a car to function. So the fact that whether the car is worth money or not, or how much money it's worth, is not so relevant, as long as you need a car that functions, gets you from place to place, and the dollar price on the car doesn't affect you directly. But if you've got a second car, which you don't need, there's only one driver in the house and you have a second car, so then now it's just a financial asset. So that's what I said, you have to mice that. So what I'm saying, that would explain perhaps what I said at the beginning, that Rabbi Yashar, if somebody gives you money, even cash, but for a specific thing to buy X, so then, and Rabbi Yashar said, you don't have to take Maisa from that money. So maybe that's the pshat. We said we wrote a machlokas, Chazon said you do, but Rabbi Yashar was quoted as saying you don't. So that would be, maybe that's the pshat, takel shitaso, because that money now is not money. That money is an object. Right? I was given the money, meaning the fact that I have that money, I'm not really worth more because I need to spend that money on the item that I have it for. That's the whole matara, the whole purpose. This money is earmarked to buy that item, and I'm not talking about the person's makpah here, okay? That's not the nukud here. But the point is, since it was the intention, that's what it's going to be used for. As long as I channel it directly to buy that thing, so we don't look at that either as a harvacha kaspis. We don't look at that as a financial gain. We look at that as this. You got the item. So I think those two things, as I said, these two quotes from Rabbi Yashar would stem nicely. The third pshat, so now we have two pshat, the Morning Kim Shavakesev, the stipler explaining the Chazon Ish that it's like any din tzedakah, that you don't have to sell anything to give tzedakah. So you don't have to give tzedakah from your assets, only from your money. So you know, and we give ma'aser just b'tar tzedakah. That's what the stipler said. Second pshat here is that when you get Shavakesev, we don't look at it that your value went up, your monetary value in Hilchos Tzedakah. We just look at it like you have an item for Shemesh, but it's not money. And the third pshat I saw very simply, so brought down from Rav Nissen Karelitz, I think it's in the Chochani, that he said ma'aser k'safim is a minug, like we said many times. And by minig we say masha nogu nogu masha lo nogu nogu. The minig is not to give from shavakes. The minig is only to give from money. So very simple. You don't have to give from shavakes because it was never nogu that way. The whole idea that we give that like it's pasha to anybody, everyone. I think if you ask the average person, even people somewhat you know who b'nei Torah, they look and ma'aser k'safim like something you must do, and that's good because it's become so. Nafut, so accepted, so normal that person gives, that anyone who can, anyone who can afford to, gives my suksafim. So Memela says, this is fine, but the minig is only, just like the minig developed to give across the board, but it developed only to give from money, not from shavakesef. So just the third very simple pshat in why in that hanhaga. Okay, now there's a couple of other things. Yerusha, let's say a person inherits whatever it may be. So if he inherits money, so he has to give Meister for the money. And again, like we said before, even if the person he inherited for his relative, whoever it was, that he inherited from, was always Makbin and gave Meister, but the one who received it still has to give Meister from it now that it changed hands. But if he inherits Chafetzim, then he doesn't. According to the Stam Minuk, so just like if he gets a gift for Chafetzim, he doesn't have to give money, doesn't have to give Meister, so here too, that would be the same thing. If a person finds a Metzia in the street, literally a Metzia, I mean, he finds something in the street, and in a case where he's allowed to keep it, where no simanim, or you know, whatever, the Metzia is allowed to keep it, so he has to give Meister from it. Again, if it's money, if he finds cash, I'm saying, if he finds cash in the street, and which he's allowed to keep, he has to give Meister. If he finds an item, even if he's allowed to keep it, then the Chor would be telling again what we said, then if he had this Stam Minuk, he wouldn't have to give Meister from it. But it's brought the case where... In the event that he does return it, let's say he knows who the owner, he finds out, even if the din is he's not mechuyev al pi din, a case where it's there was already yish bailim or whatever it was, or you know rov akum, or you learn halachas of edim tzi. You see, there are cases, some cases where a person doesn't have to give it back. even though he knows or he finds out who the owner is, and he chooses to give it back, lefnim mishur sadin, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, some cases where it's proper, lefnim mishur sadin, so then you don't have to give ma'aser. Even though, say, well, lefnim mishur sadin, so it was your choice to give it away, but no, as long as you're giving it back to the person, it's because it was his, and you want to be mekayim this lefnim mishur sadin, so that you don't have to take ma'aser.
Does the person getting it have to give ma'aser on it?
So very good. So it's brought that, yes, if a person lost something, ad kei kach, he was miyayish on it, miyayish from it, then if he gets it back, if it's money, again, money. Again, if it's a chayv, it's again lechori not. But if it's money, he would have to give maisa from it.
He has to, if he renounces the possession, if he thinks that he lost it.
Yes. Then
in that condition. But if he didn't lose the hope.
If he's still expecting to get it back, then not. The same thing is brought down if something is stolen from him, or money was stolen from him, and he relinquishes any hope. Even though the din is yeish bichtilo kani, the gazlan is not kona with yeish alone, or if I lose something, I'm a yeish, it still belongs to me, even though I was a yeish. But nevertheless, we look at it like that you got something new, something which wasn't, you never expected to see again, so it's perceived by the olam like you profited, so you would give ma'aser from that. Stami would, if it's an item, well, if it's something right for Shechianu. And it's brought that even if a person owes you money, and you forget it, you know, you're never going to see, you were certain you'd never see that money again, you still have to. Then you would have to get, and you got the money back. You would have to. He always owed it to you, but you and me, she had no hopes of seeing it. You have to give ma'aser from it. I had that experience once. Did I give ma'aser? No. I didn't remember what I did. A certain person who was renting an apartment for me. Many, many people have rented apartments in Chicago. We had. So, you know, if you have to know what person, it doesn't mean it was him. I doubt very much anyone here knows this person. And he was renting his basement apartment. He wasn't. He was a single person. He wasn't particularly wealthy. And he was behind on the rent for quite a bit. It was just one room in the basement. So like we're not talking about the rent was modest. But he was quite behind. And then he moved out into a different state and whatever. And I said, we just wrote it off, finished. You win a few, you lose a few. And then a few years later, I get an envelope in the mail from him, and I open it up, and there's a check for the money. I was literally astounded. Rather. I was astounded he even knew, and he remembered, and he knew the cheshbon, and he said, I was like, mamash astounded. I think I just mailed it back to him, because I had no thoughts, no hopes of ever seeing that money again, so I could take it. Obviously, I don't know, maybe he became rich, and that's why he sent it, but I sort of doubt it. I think he just was very ehrlich, and he never forgot about it, and eventually sent it to me. So I put it in my step, I think I probably wrote him a thank you note, and I just sent it back to him. I don't think I took my stuff from him, because he sent the whole thing back to him. But it was like $800. I mean, we're not talking about I think it was about $800, so it wasn't like the biggest Maisa Chasidus in my point of part either, but okay, but these things happen. Okay. One more thing is that just one second. Oh, what happens if you got money and then it was stolen from you before you lost it or it was stolen from you before? You didn't take ma'aser from it yet, and you lost the money. It was stolen from you. Do you have to take ma'aser from it? You don't have anymore. You never even got to go to the bank. You're walking home for whatever you did. You did a good job. They paid you $500 cash. Somebody happened to notice. And you saw which pocket you put it in. By the time you got home, it's not in your pocket. So do you have to take ma'aser from it? So I saw machlokas about this in the Sefer Hilchos Ma'aser Kesafim brings from Rabbi Yashiv that by the case of Geneva that you do nonetheless. You had it. It was yours. It was stolen from you, but it's like any other, whatever. He said you have to take ma'aser from it. But the Sefer Baruch Tzedaka, he says that not by both cases, by both Begneva and Aveda, you don't have to. And by the case of Aveda, he brings in the name of Nissen Karelitz, and it's Tzedaka Mishpat, that you don't have to. It's like, I guess we look at it like a business loss. We'll have to talk again, Hashem, about gains and losses, but looks at it as a loss before you ever got any enough from the money. It was before you put it into your whole cheshbon, it's a loss, so you don't have to. He said you don't have to. So just give us, you asked earlier about if a person wins something in an auction. So really, this touches on, Bez Hashem, soon we'll talk about one of these weeks soon, what things you're allowed to use your Meiser money for. So the first question is, are you allowed to use Meiser money to buy an auction ticket, or a raffle ticket, or a Chinese auction thing? The whole discussion about that in Poskim, different sheetahs. And then the Shaila would be, if you so, but let's assume you didn't. Let's assume you use your own money to buy a raffle ticket at a Chinese auction, and you win. So if you win cash, you would have to take Maaser from it. But if, according to what we said, if you win items, you wouldn't have to. Only if you win cash. If you win the $25,000 bonus or $100,000, take Maaser from it. But if you won the whatever item, the Shetel or the new Megillah, or, you know, Es Megillah Sester, whatever you won, according to what we say, the fee the minig, there would be machlokes post, but the fee minig olam, you wouldn't have to take Maaser.
And you could use
Meister
for the ticket?
So that's we're going to talk about a lot of different sheets about that, if you could use Meister for the ticket.
Cliffhanger.
There are a lot of cliffhangers.
If it's tuition, we'll talk about tuition also, right?
It's a shame.